Morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm sorry, I was teasing you. All right. I'm so glad that we are here together as we continue this green season after the Epiphany, as we continue looking at all the ways in which God's love is made manifest to us, all of God's children. I'm glad that you're here, whether you're with us in church, you're with us online. We are together as God's people giving thanks and praise. Thank you for being here. Next Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the last Sunday before the season of Lent begins. And so I hope that, A, you're planning on being here. But if you took my advice and had one of those palm branches from last year's Palm Sunday behind a picture or something like that in your house, bring them by next Sunday, because then we will turn those palms into the ashes we use for Ash Wednesday. So next week, come to worship because it's Transfiguration Sunday. Come and see your friends and your neighbors. But if you had them, bring those palm branches and we will use them for our Ash Wednesday services. Next Sunday, February 19th, is also our third Sunday youth meeting. We're trying to get this kicked off. We chose the third Sunday of the month. And so if you are a youth in grades 9 through 12, you are invited to join us here at 6 o'clock in the evening. We're going to have I think next week we're going to watch a movie, but we're also going to be talking about future events and all kinds of things. So, third Sunday, youth meeting, next Sunday, 6 p.m. And so, if Transfiguration Sunday is coming soon, then Ash Wednesday is coming soon. Ash Wednesday this year is Wednesday, February 22nd, and we will have services here at St. John's at 7 o'clock in the evening on that Ash Wednesday and begin our Lenten journey together. I hope you can join us. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope that you take a chance to read through them. But we are gathered here this morning so that we can add our voices to God's people giving thanks and praise. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering songs. Open the eyes of my heart. Let us rise and sing together.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving in the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. "Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. As long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, 'I belong to Paul,' and another, 'I belong to Apollos,' are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 5th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples and the crowds, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment, and if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council, and if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said that to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one, the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. She was desperate. She really needed a fix, but she also needed to be done with the opioids, with the heroin, with all of it. But she really needed a fix. Her body's craving was making her sick, weak, shaky. She had been like this once before, but it had not been fun or pretty. She needed that fix so desperately. But part of her didn't want to and wasn't sure where to go or what to do about any of it. She could go to her dealer and they could make some kind of an agreement about getting her fix. She could shoplift or go back home and steal from her parents again. Instead, she went to Focus on Friends, this peer-run place that she had heard about that was designed to help people like her. People who wanted out. People who wanted to stay out. And there they matched her up with a detox facility. It was going to be there through that tough time and then pass her on to a recovery house. This was going to take a lot of effort. It was going to take a lot of hard work. It was going to take a lot of determination, support, goodwill, and so much more. But she had started. She knew that she needed help and she discovered help was there for her. Too often, people in her situation wind up in jail. And that's where they detox, and that's where there is little to no follow-up. When they're done with jail, they go back to their old friends, they go back to their old ways, they pick up their old habit, and they start the cycle all over again. This situation in the lives of addicts stands for me as a powerful metaphor for sin and repentance. Because as human beings, we are sinners. We are addicts to sin. We are prisoner to our selfishness. We are walking away from God, and we need to turn around. Now, some of us here can see our guilt, and we know that we're captive to our selfishness and our sinfulness. Some of us here can hear the call of Jesus to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, we first heard that call in the middle of last month in the gospel reading as Jesus was beginning his ministry. Now, the word repent in Greek metanoia, it means to turn around, to turn back to God, to turn away from sin and the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. And Jesus is calling us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not repent so that we can encourage the kingdom of heaven to show up, or repent so that we can sort of create a possibility that the kingdom of heaven might be around someday. We're called to repent because God's presence and love, the power, the forgiveness, the life and salvation that God provides here and now. We need help. And Jesus is showing us that help is here for us right now. And so the Sermon on the Mount, this part of Matthew's gospel we've been listening to for the last few weeks, this is Jesus trying to help us see the implications of the kingdom of heaven here in our midst. He wants to show us the implications of our repentance. Blessing comes. Blessings come to the most unexpected people. So often the world wants us to believe, and the world around us is saying to us that only when we succeed, only when we drive a fancy car or have a big bank account is that proof of God's blessings, proof of God's pleasure with us. Jesus tells us all that God's blessings come even when the world least expects it. When we mourn, when we work for peace for those around us, when we are merciful and kind, when we are persecuted even, God's blessing, God's presence, and God's peace are with us, standing beside us. Then Jesus tells us that as God's blessed children, we are salt for the earth, bringing the flavor of God's love to all people. We are the light of the world, shining with God's light and bringing an end to the shadows and darkness all around us. God wants to work with us to make the kingdom of heaven real in people's lives, and we get to be part of that kingdom of heaven being at hand, and we can do it. But Jesus reminds us that righteousness and repentance are part of that plan. In fact, Jesus tells us that the law and the prophets are valid and will be fulfilled in him. And Jesus also tells us that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, which leads us to our gospel reading today. You see, the Pharisees had a plan. They had a system. They had a clipboard full of rules, regulations, stipulations, decrees, and all kinds of things that must be kept, upheld, and done. And because they had that whole clipboard full of lists and things like that, they knew where they were on the list. And they were also more than willing to keep track of everyone else around them at the same time. They were part of the group that looked at success as proof of blessing, and that those who are poor in spirit, those who are mourning or meek or merciful, are actually left out by God and somehow less than they were. So the question is, how can our righteousness exceed that, especially in the light of what Jesus says today? You have heard it said, you shall not murder. Well, we have heard that. It's the fifth commandment. We've been talking about it in catechism lately. And the truth is that most of us feel pretty safe in light of the fifth commandment because we haven't stabbed, strangled, or shot anybody to death lately. So we have that one, right? There we are. The Pharisees believed it. The disciples believed it. The crowds believed it. Even we believe it. But Jesus did not believe it. Jesus tells us that if we're angry with our brother or sister or coworker or parent or friend or any random stranger, including the person in the other car that just pulled in front of you, if you call them names, you as good as killed them in God's eye. I don't know about you, but I have more than enough brothers and sisters that I got mad with all of them a lot of times and called them all sorts of names. Right? I have done that plenty of times, and to God, I have killed them. I've taken away their humanity, and I've reduced them to some sort of category or commodity. They are no longer brothers or sisters, but they are objects that we are rejecting. There goes our hopefulness that we've been righteous, at least on that point. Jesus does the same thing with adultery and divorce, with swearing falsely and so much more. We think that we're safe because we never committed adultery. But if we've objectified the men or the women around us, we have. We think that because it's legal, there are no spiritual repercussions to divorce, but there are. There always are. We try to rest on our accomplishments and on our earned righteousness, but none of it matters. What matters, Jesus tells us, is God's love and the blessings that come as a gift from God to all of us. In today's readings, Jesus is using the law to its fullest measure. He begins using the first use of the law. The first use of the law is always to help us discover our guilt. All of us who thought that we were safe, because either I've never owned a gun or I've never used my gun on a person, never killed anybody, Jesus is telling us, you're still guilty. We have broken the commandment. Our righteousness is false. All of us who thought we've never committed adultery discover that Hormones and catalogs of the girl or boy across the classroom have already made us guilty. We are human, and so we are guilty. Jesus is trying to help us see that on our own. We're never going to be enough. If we're counting on how good we are, we're in deep. But for Jesus, it's the second use of the law that he's trying to bring us to. And the second use of the law is the part that drives us back to Christ. The second use of the law drives us into the arms of our Father and to the forgiveness that we find there, like the prodigal. Jesus is trying to show us that our righteousness indeed exceeds the Pharisees when we get that righteousness from God as a gift. God is the only one who can repair our broken relationship. God is the only one who can welcome us into the family of God. We can never earn it. We don't ever deserve it. But it is ours anyway, because God is love, and God loves all of us. For those of us perceptive enough to realize that we are sunk on our own, Jesus has already promised blessings. He told us earlier, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God's presence and power, the forgiveness, life, and salvation we need are with us as a blessing from God. And because of those blessings, we get to be salt and light. We get to bring the love of God to the people around us so that they too can see God's kingdom. We get to bring the kingdom of heaven with us so that it is truly at hand. This is the promise of Jesus' presence and ministry. This is the gift of his living, helping, teaching, suffering, dying, and rising again for us all. Today, Jesus is trying to help us discover that any man-made plans for salvation are lost and wrong. God's love is the source of our hope. It's the source of our joy and our peace. Jesus is calling us to repent, to return to God, to discover the gifts that are ours. Jesus is calling us to lives of righteousness, lives of right living, inspired by, powered by, and guided by the love of God that goes with us. This can be a struggle, like those who are going into recovery. It can exhaust us some days, but our lives as God's children are also filled with light and salt, with grace and peace. So let's go out into the world and make God's vision for the world into our mission every day. Amen. Please rise and let us remember our baptism as we confess together our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Inspire your church that it may be a sign of life throughout the world. From the exploration of faith with children and new believers to missionaries and bishops, shape lives of faithfulness so that all find abundant life in your ways. Lord, in your mercy, nourish your creation. Accompany all who plant and water. Bless the work of farmers and provide farmers facing drought. Guide the work of agricultural scientists towards sustainable ways to feed the world. Lord, in your mercy, dear Lord, there are days when your creation bites back. We pray for your presence, your mercy, and your strength to be with the people in Turkey and Syria as they continue to work through the rubble and search for survivors. Bless all who have lost family members and bring the light of your love to the world around us. Lord, in your mercy, give growth where there seems to be no hope for life. in nations and regions where reconciliation seems impossible, empower peacemakers with your spirit. Where death holds sway through violence, disease, and hunger, equip relief workers to bring hope. Lord, in your mercy, nurture all in need. Bring healing to all who experience trauma caused by systems of injustice and destructive relationships. Give courage to those struggling to repent and those seeking reconciliation. Sustain all who work for restoration. Lord, in your mercy, God of healing and grace, there are so many who need your presence and power. We pray for those who are suffering illness and injury or with accident and disease. We pray for those known to us who need your wholeness and your health. We pray for Sharon, Randy, Phyllis, Don, Dan, Stephanie, Judith, Ashley, Rhonda, and Jim. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy, encourage this congregation. Call us to a common purpose and keep us all from quarreling. Turn our hearts towards you and guide our leaders so that our choices may be life-giving for all. Lord, in your mercy, thanks be to you for the lives of all who have died in Christ. Teach us to follow them in your ways and gather us with them into the promise of eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy, we bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're watching football tonight, I hope you enjoy yourself and that you're not too disappointed. More than that, though, I hope your week is filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Trembles at his voice. How great!